This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we are back. I'm Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So a lot has unfolded this week, and Seattle is back in the news. Originally, it was because of coronavirus. Seattle was kind of the epicenter, and they did not want to be the epicenter of that. But now they are the crux of a whole new movement of self-rule. And so I don't know if you guys are aware, but there's a neighborhood in Seattle where the precincts have been abandoned. So the police are gone in that neighborhood. And they left. We out. Whether they were kicked out or they abandoned it, from what I understand, they wanted to decrease tensions. So the precinct abandoned their building, from what I understand. And the neighborhood, I think it goes from 11th to 13th Avenue, from Olive to Pike. It's in central Seattle. And the neighborhood is now policing themselves. And some of the pictures and the videos make it look really, really fun, right? On the other end, we're hearing that it's kind of scary. So from what we're getting and gathering, and again, clue us in, call in at 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI, if you have any more information on what's been going on. But from what we understand is they're armed. I think there is it's open carry in Washington, but some of these, weapons are, pretty militaristic. You aren't allowed to go home within that neighborhood without showing ID. So, I mean, they really guard it off. And then they have a list of demands. And they do not want police, period. They want to defund the police departments. They want, from what we understand with their list of demands, and we'll review those list of demands in more detail in the next segment, they also want to have all the body cams, turned over so people could see them, where body cam footage is public record. Understandable. They also want no more imprisonment, no more jails. They want free college. They're also bringing up economic requests. They want free college. They want free public housing. Public housing is free, but they want more of it. So they're in a position now to make requests and demands that are beyond what was the original issue. I mean, the original issue, just like with the original taking of the knee, was supposed to be against, police brutality. That could be racially charged. Now it's expanding to, we are going to arm our own neighborhood and we're not going to back down unless we get free college. Money going into the arts. Some of the things they're asking for are kind of nice, but it's the way this is all going down is making people nervous. The other thing we're starting to get are reports, which we knew this would happen when the looting had started in other cities, where there are reports of extortion for protection. So we will protect your store if you pay. But on the flip side, that might be coming from, you have armed now citizens who are making it their job, their full-time job, to protect that neighborhood. How do they eat? How do they get paid? So it would be money coming from the businesses. So they're kind of making their own, and they're making their own little, I don't know if it would be called a commune, but they're making their own little entity. You pay us. We do the protections. We will take care of you. We will let people in and out. We'll keep you safe. We'll do our own policing. And nobody's really kind of stepping in or doing anything. They're just kind of letting this happen. Now, of course, other neighborhoods are probably looking at this going, okay, this sounds good. This sounds really good. And you know, it's really interesting because, you know, in our neighborhood, we have a lot of Golden Knights in our neighborhood, you know. So I think, you know, in our neighborhood, you know, we could definitely set some rules down. And I mean, nobody's going to not listen to the hockey players. And, you know, we'll be able to say, look, okay, you know, this is what we want, whatever. But here's the thing, okay? It's all fine and dandy until stuff goes down. And law enforcement isn't just about patrolling and giving parking tickets and shooting. There's a lot more to it. There's an art to law enforcement and, you know, the civics of it. So my concern is, and it's this honeymoon period of, all right, fine. All right, you know, we'll protect you. We have the guns. Police are gone. We got this covered. We have a finite area. We got borders. We got boundaries. We're going to prevent people coming in and out that don't belong. Okay, they might be able to control that. But what happens when somebody can't pay? What happens if a business can't pay the vigilantes? Does that mean that business owner gets kicked out? Does that mean that business owner gets like a Kristallnacht sort of treatment of their business? I mean, what are the consequences? And then what happens if somebody defies the vigilantes? What are the ramifications? What are the punishments? And so this is very, very concerning. Initially, you look at it going, they look like they're doing a pretty good job and people are dancing and happy and sounds like everybody seems to be, you know, for this until poop goes downhill. What happens when there's a flood? What happens when there's a power outage? What happens when, I mean, you know, the idea of, well, we don't need government or we don't need city officials or we don't need, trust me, I think a lot of government that gets involved screws things up. But these infrastructures in place came about because people realized they couldn't rule on their own. Now the police have not engaged because there's not a single entity. Right now, there's no leader. So from what I understand, they're waiting for a leader before they go in to take their precinct back. And this is kind of where we're at right now. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOC-DALLY. Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safe. Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi. I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel for working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, The Dr. Dolly Show. So remember how we discussed, and we are going to take your calls. Daniel is, I think, on the line right now. Oh, 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Earlier last week, we were talking about how in Black Lives Matter, they are training a quote-unquote military arm to be able to help police neighborhoods and to be able to, shall we say, take matters into their own hands. People are, where again this is stemming from is people are afraid of the police. They are afraid that if they get detained, that if they, are in the wrong apartment at the wrong time, that they are going to get shot or they are going to be killed or, you know, have a knee put on their neck, etc. So the fear is founded unfortunately, it's bad seed starts to, make a whole police department or a whole police force look incompetent when they're not. Again, I don't know what the heck Derek Chauvin was thinking, and that unfortunately started this next round of, upheaval in terms of, having our own police force versus trusting the, police departments and trusting the city and their police force. But when it comes to what Seattle is doing, they've actually already taken it to the next step. And so you can say, look, we're going to police our own cities. Or you can say we're going to police our own, neighborhoods or police our own schools. Trust me, this is the first time this has happened. I mean, parents wanted to do it when there were school shootings. Parents are like, look, if the school district doesn't have enough money to have enough armed security guards at my kid's school, I'll stand there with my AR-15. I mean, I was ready. I was ready to stand at my kid's school to protect them from shootings. Yeah, I mean, people don't, this lack of control, and I tell you this all the time, I keep bringing this up, a lack of control on any side makes makes people very uncomfortable, very, very insecure, and they want security. And so in this one neighborhood in Seattle, and I'm sure there's others that are being organized, all right, they want to have the control of their own security. They don't want to be fearful that their child or, loved one is going to accidentally get shot or be racially profiled. The problem is who are they trusting to do this? And so, have they elected leaders? Have they, can America allow people to, choose their own leaders? Can you police your own neighborhood? Well, it's not just policing their own neighborhood. And thank you. One of our callers, John, said not all public housing is free. Thank you. Yes, I had to correct myself with that. Thank you very much. Thank you. When we look at their demands, and these are their demands, all right, there's at least 30 of them. And they want to start rehauling the justice system. And the reason why this is important, we're spending time on what's going on in Seattle, is because this is what's going to be the next wave of things. Everybody wants to know what June 2020 is going to be. Well, June 2020 is not going to be defined by protests. June 2020 is now going to be defined by action taken by cities and neighborhoods of their own to police themselves. Okay, but they can't do it because they don't have an influx of money. And so I think this list of demands came out because they might be able to provide protection and they might be able to police who goes in and out of the neighborhood, but what about school? What about, they know that the heavy arm of the law is going to come down because, you can't, terrorize people and not let them go back to home without showing ID. I mean, they have a right to get back to their apartment. You can't extort money from businesses who aren't going to pay you to provide that service if they don't want it. So they know that now they need to have to start integrating with the surrounding city and country and current laws. So they say the Seattle Police Department and attached court system are beyond reform. We do not request reform. We demand abolition. So they demand that Seattle Council and the mayor defund and abolish the Seattle Police Department and the attached criminal justice apparatus. This means 100% of funding, including existing pensions for Seattle Police. At an equal level of priority, they say we also demand that the city disallow the operations of ICE in the city of Seattle. That's their first demand. That's just number one. Number two, in the transitionary period between now and the dismantlement of the Seattle Police Department, we demand that the use of armed force be banned entirely. No guns, no batons, no riot shields, no chemical weapons, especially against those exercising their First Amendment rights as Americans to protest. Then they say, number three, we demand an end to the school-to-prison pipeline and the abolition of youth jails. Get kids out of prison, get cops out of schools. We also demand that the new youth prison being built in Seattle currently be repurposed. We need to talk about youth prisons, things like that. Then they say we demand that not the city government nor the state government, but that the federal government launches a full-scale investigation into past and current cases of police brutality in Seattle and Washington, as well as the reopening of all closed cases reported to the Office of Police Accountability. They say in particular, we demand that cases particular to Seattle and Washington be reopened where no justice has been served, and then they name the cases of people who were victims. They also demand reparations for victims. They also demand that the city of Seattle make the names of officers involved in police brutality a matter of public record. They say anonymity should not even be a privilege in public service. Now, again, that gets tricky. They have a point with the anonymity, but you demand outings of people. You demand that, then there's the risk. But then people could say, yeah, but a lot of criminal records are public record. So, again, this is very, very tricky. Number seven, they say we demand a retrial of all people in color currently serving a prison sentence for violent crime by a jury of their peers in their community. Then they say we demand decriminalization of the acts of protest, amnesty, protesters, etc. This includes immediate release of all protesters currently being held in prison after the arrest made, and they talk about the arrest. They demand, number nine, that the city of Seattle and state government release any prisoner currently serving time for a marijuana-related offense. Now, see, that's interesting because marijuana is legal in Seattle. So I'm wondering if that includes selling it to minors. Number 10, we demand that the city of Seattle state government release any prisoner currently serving time just for resisting arrest. They demand prisoners currently serving time to be given the full and unrestricted right to vote. We demand an end to prosecutorial immunity for police officers. They demand the abolition of imprisonment, but especially the abolition of young prisons and privately owned for-profit prisons. They demand the replacement of a current criminal justice system, the creation of restorative, transformative accountability programs as a replacement for imprisonment. And I'm not exactly sure what that entails. They demand autonomy to be given to the people to create localized anti-crime systems. They demand that Seattle Police Department, between now and the time of its abolition, empty its lost and found and return property owned by denizens of the city, they said. They also demand justice for those who have been harassed sexually and abused by the police department. And they want the funding going to socialized health and medicine, free public housing, public education, naturalization services for immigrants, etc. And then they also want rent control. They want a restoration of city funding for arts and culture. They want free college for the people of the state of Washington. They demand that the police be prohibited from performing homeless sweeps that displace and disturb our homeless neighbors. And they demand a decentralized election process to give the citizens of Seattle greater ability to select candidates for public offices, such that we are not forced to choose at the poll between equally undesirable options. So they demand more. They demand that hospitals and care facilities of Seattle employ black doctors and nurses specifically to help care for black patients. That's something we're going to talk about in the next segment. We demand the people of Seattle seek out and proudly support black-owned business. We demand that the city create an entirely separate system staffed by mental health experts to respond to 911 calls. And then they demand that the history of black and Native Americans be given a significantly greater focus in the state education system. They want anti-bias training to become legal requirements. And they demand the city of Seattle and state of Washington remove any and all monuments dedicated to historical figures of the Confederacy. So those are a list of their demands. And I'm not sure what happens if they aren't met, or if only some of them are met. 1-877-DOC-SALLY. Don't go away.
Complex.
complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
George Floyd's brother is pushing for police reform. He spoke on Capitol Hill yesterday, telling lawmakers at a hearing he wants to make sure that his brother wasn't just a face on a T-shirt or another name on a list.
I couldn't take care of George that day. He was killed. But maybe by speaking with you today, I can make sure that his death would not be in vain.
Protesters tore down a statue of Christopher Columbus from outside the Minnesota State Capitol last night. A group of protesters tossing a rope around the monument and tugging it to the ground. Another cop reality show is over. A&E has canceled Live PD a day after the long-running Cops got pulled and only hours after the host promised it was going to be back. And you're listening to USA Radio News. More than 1.5 million more workers filed unemployment claims last week. The 1.54 million first-time claims, 355,000 fewer than the week before, and the 10th straight week of declining claims, but still reflecting a stunning exodus of Americans from the U.S. workforce. President Trump is heading to Dallas, where he'll discuss plans for what's called a national holistic revitalization and recovery following weeks of civil unrest at the death of George Floyd. Trump will be meeting with pastors and law enforcement officials and small business owners at a church in Dallas. He's been criticized for his few comments about the Memorial Day death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, which has led to the protests across the nation. The president has criticized them, calling for tough measures to stop them. He will also be holding a private fundraising event in Dallas later today. And this is USA Radio News.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. 1-877-DOCDALI. So we just kind of described the list of demands that the autonomous zone is requesting in Seattle for the neighborhood of that neighborhood between, I believe, Oak and Pine and 13th and 11th Avenue. I need to kind of review my geography. All right. And one of their requests, which is understandable, is that they are demanding that the healthcare facilities of Seattle recruit black doctors and nurses to be able to take care of black patients. And this has been something, and I have been very, very perplexed or confused by why this wasn't understood, why this wasn't the concept that would be embraced by everybody. And so when I was in school, it was very, very interesting. So we were taught when I was in school that you needed to get the race of the patient. And so when you would do a report, you'd say, I have a 65-year-old African-American male. I would have a 75-year-old Hispanic woman. I would have a 65-year-old Ashkenazi Jewish, right? And the reason why that, now we're talking in the 90s, the reason why that was significant was because, well, Ashkenazi Jews might be more at risk for Tay-Sachs, colon cancer, pancreatic cancer, African-American risk colon cancer, heart disease, Hispanic, diabetes, etc. And a lot of us students kind of went back and forth going, well, don't we just assume everybody's at risk? You know, does it really need to matter that we have the race involved? And some of us were like, well, I think it's very, very important because I think it reminds people that we all have different physiologies. And you know, you can't give an African-American male the same blood pressure medicine sometimes as a 22-year-old white female. The bodies are different. And so there was a debate on whether black and white and Hispanic make you different in medicine. And I remember one of the attendings had yelled at one of the residents who had given report, I think it was during M&M, morbidity and mortality. Whenever somebody dies in a hospital, you have to basically go up in front of a whole room of doctors and tell them what you did wrong. And, you know, so we don't do it again. So luckily I never had to do that. So I was really lucky. Gosh, man, I expected I'd have to be there, but luckily I never killed anybody. But it happens. It happens, unfortunately. And so the person was giving their report, and the doctor in the back of the room said, why are you citing their race? And, again, the debate kept ensuing. So I just did whatever my attending told me. If they wanted to know the race in the background, fine. Now it's moot because we have something. You're not just white. You're not just black. You're not just Hispanic. You're not just Jewish. You're not just Catholic. You know, I mean, we're all blended. And so you don't really seem to see it that much. However, there's an argument that maybe we do need to identify who's black, who's Hispanic, who's white, and then offer them medical professionals of their race. So here's why. So I was medical student, I had trained under an African American dermatologist, and he had told me that a big problem we have in medical schools is the students only learn dermatology on white people, and so a lot of white doctors don't know black dermatology. And I agreed with them because when I was at UCLA, I had done my dermatology rotation at Sepulveda VA. Now, the Sepulveda VA gave me some great training, but it was veterans from World War II and veterans from the Vietnam War. So the majority of them were white. So I didn't get a lot of African-American training on black skin. So there was a patient, a friend of mine, who had gotten a spider bite, and he came to me. And he had said, look, I got this spider bite and my doctor, you know, has biopsied it a couple times and it's just not healing. And I go, let me take a look. And he was black and he, you couldn't tell how severe it was or the color of it, but it was very, you could see it was very involved. And I said, this has been biopsied already? And he said, yes, twice. And I go, what were the biopsy results? He said, inconclusive. And I go, I don't think this is a spider bite. And it was on his ankle. And it was something I've never seen before. And I go, look, okay, I'm going to send you to my favorite doctor. He's black. You need somebody who is trained in dermatology that has been trained with, you know, African Americans and black skin. So he went, and the doctor, again, agreed something wasn't right. He did a third biopsy, and it turned out that it was cancer. So after two normal biopsies, he knew to do a third biopsy, figured out that it was actually Kaposi sarcoma. Now, Kaposi sarcoma is a cancer that we see in those with HIV that is already extended to AIDS. Kaposi sarcoma has a very distinct look. It's purplish on a white person. So someone of color, you won't pick it up. So once we knew it was Kaposi sarcoma, we knew to run an HIV test. He wasn't my patient. He was a friend. But I had sent him to the dermatologist. The dermatologist ran the HIV test, found out that he actually had full-blown AIDS, and unfortunately he died a few months later. And again, his doctor, and I'm not blaming his original doctor for being white or anything like that, but we are in medical school trained within our cities, within our communities, and if we aren't trained in the gamut of people presentations, you know, and their color and their creed or background. For example, with Hispanic populations, if a medical student doesn't understand that many of them use botanicas, natural herbs and things like that, and they use natural remedies, they're not going to look for interactions with drugs or things like that. And so there has to be cultural, whether it's cultural sensitivity, but you have to, and I keep saying this in medicine, you have to embrace the race. And so what we were accused of as being racist, identifying somebody's race and bringing it up having it in their medical chart, et cetera, might actually hurt the patient, because if you don't have a doctor that's trained in that, they're going to miss something. And so what's very interesting about this demand in coming out of the Seattle neighborhood is, if they feel that things are getting missed because they are not being taken care of doctors of their same race, it's a very reasonable demand. But what ends up happening then is all this progress we've made of, you know what, I'm taking care of you no matter what. You're white, you're black, you know, I'll see a white doctor, black doctor, Hispanic doctor, I'll see a Jew doctor, Catholic. All this progress we made in the last 20, 30 years of, race doesn't matter. I will take care of, or I will see a doctor no matter what. Now we're going back to, okay, we messed up, so now we need to match people with their, we're almost now separating again. So I don't know where this goes. But if you have, in fact, even with the CDC, I think, was under criticism because they didn't identify that the African-American population was at higher risk. And why were they at higher risk? You know, I had told you guys that I had noticed that my African-American women will lose their potassium more than white women when we give them a water pill, hydrochlorothiazide. And people are always giving black people hydrochlorothiazide. Well, low potassium, or, you know, heart disease and potassium relationships are very close. And they found that the reason why some people don't have heart disease, whereas others do, is maybe a very rich diet with fruits and vegetables. Again, potassium. So why would we take a population at risk of heart disease and lower their potassium? We need to embrace the race. But in doing so, unfortunately, hospitals could look racist. 1-877-DOC-SALLY. Don't go away.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive.
Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate, fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
After about a month of Extendivite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract is got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Did you guys watch The Sopranos? Okay, I could talk about it now without somebody saying that I have to do spoiler alerts. The Sopranos apparently was one of the first major breakthrough shows that started to change things up when it comes to now streaming and Game of Thrones and these series. And The Sopranos basically brought back the soap opera. So I think it was 2004 to 2007. I forget how many years. Maybe 2002 to 2000. I forget how many years Sopranos was on. But it ended in 2007. And me and my friends were hooked. And it was rough. In fact, my kids asked to see it again with me. They want to see The Sopranos. And there are scenes I got nightmares from. I don't think I could see again. And I'm a doctor, and I've seen it all. But it's the, you know, getting shot. Those scenes are kind of rough to see, some of them. I could see war movies a lot easier than I could see, you know, mob movies like Sopranos. And so, James Gandolfini, which is also it's kind of hard to watch now because I really loved him as an actor and he's gone, you know? But when you watch The Sopranos, and I really, really hope I could talk about this without somebody getting... Okay, well, spoiler alert then, okay? If you haven't seen a show that ended 13 years ago, that's not on me. Well, apparently, James Gandolfini is able to escape death multiple times throughout the series. His family escaping death, and for the most part, they make it to the final scene. And then you see somebody come out of the bathroom. And then the scene completely just goes black. So my friend had called me up, Joey, who's also passed away. Now, may he rest in peace. He calls me up screaming, going, "What happened? What happened? My TV went out. My TV went out." I go, "No, I think that was the show. Mine went out too." "Well, what happened?" And then that was the end of the series. Or the show. And they did that to make you wonder if Tony Soprano lived or died. I immediately got the feeling that Tony Soprano was dead. Because the guy comes out of the bathroom, Tony's sitting there having, I think, burgers with his family, and then everything goes black. So my guess was that was the end. The problem is people are still debating it 13 years later. So the creator, David Chase, we believe has accidentally let it slip what the true ending was supposed to be. And the reason why there was debate is people thought, well, that The Sopranos was going to come back. And The Sopranos was going to come back at a later time, so they left it open like that just in case they want to say that he is alive. I don't know if you guys saw Man in the High Castle. That kind of stuff happens where you think somebody dies and they don't. All these movies seem to do that, you know? And you're like, really? Really? You survive? Really? That, you know what, they go through contract negotiations. That's really what I think happens. You tell a star, okay, you know, this is what we're going to pay you. The star's like, oh, hell no. So then the writer, you know, writes in the script how they die. And then the actor goes, please, I want my job back. Please, I want my job back. So they go, well, this is what we'll do. We'll say that, you know, you were saved by guardian angel or we were saved by, yeah, you know. And then they get their job back. Or we will have you come back as a spirit. Oh, I'd love to come back as a spirit. Oh, that's wonderful. And then they get that job. So with Sopranos, they left it open, I thought, even though I thought he was dead and they were done, for it to come back. But apparently, in a leaked interview, the show's creator let it slip a phrase that appears to finally answer our question. Apparently, that last episode, Made in America, he's sitting there eating dinner with his family. Guy walks out of the bathroom. And then Journey's Don't Stop Believing starts to play, which later Glee then took and ruined the song because now nobody wants to hear Don't Stop Believing. And the, it's authors Alan Sepinwall and Matt Zoller Seitz, who co-wrote, I guess were doing a sit-down fireside chat. And they said, when you said there's an endpoint, you don't mean Tony and Holston's. You just meant, I think I have two more years worth of stories left in me. And Chase, the creator, said, yes, I think I have that death scene around 2 years before the end. So he already called it a death scene. He said Tony was going to get called to a meeting with Johnny Sack in Manhattan, and he was going to go back through the Lincoln Tunnel for this meeting, and it was going to go black there, and you never saw him again as he was heading back. The theory being that something bad happens to him at the meeting, but we couldn't do that. So then co-author finds a slip and says, you realize, of course, that you just referred to that as a death scene, meaning looks like the creator wanted him, you know, says he basically died. And then, of course, Chase says something like, blink, you guys, and anyway. So that was it. There's the answer, guys. Okay, so Tony Soprano is supposed to die at the end of the series and not come back. And now, unfortunately, because he has passed away, may rest in peace, not coming back. 1-877-DOC-DALLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. I'm kind of getting at that age where stars that you kind of love and grow up, I don't like having stars die. Harold Ramis, somebody brought up Harold Ramis, how he directed lots of movies, and I think we just had seen a movie that he directed, and Harold Ramis was one of the Ghostbusters. And, you know, he had passed. And Robin Williams. You know, because these movies keep playing. Now that we've been home on lockdown and shutdown, we're seeing all these old movies. You know, or you see movies that have the Twin Towers. Oh, I just saw Die Hard with a Vengeance. I think it was the third sequel with Samuel Jackson and, of course, Bruce Willis. And, again, you see the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center, and you're like, whoa. And it's you know, you start to kind of, when you watch these series and things like that, on one end, you feel really guilty that you wasted a lot of your life watching episode after episode after episode, you know? And, I mean, I would sit there and wait for Sunday evening for Sopranos or wait for Sunday evening for Game of Thrones, you know? You know, what do you want to do Saturday night? I want to wait for Sunday night. I mean, you know, come on. You know, but you start to go through this nostalgia of, okay, wait a second, that was during that period of time. See, the Sopranos was during the Bush years. That was before Obamacare and all that. So, you know, I remember, you know, not having to, you know, worry about, you know, closing my practice during that time. So when I watch the Sopranos, think of the Sopranos, I kind of think of a happier time because that was pre-Obamacare. There were some good years. That's when the kids were younger, and we didn't have all the, you know, stress, and we didn't have the recession. It was kind of nice. I think that was a year I went to Hawaii, even. I think it was my first year in Hawaii. I was like, wow. Well, what are you going to do? 1-877-DOC-DALLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. So we're hearing that there is a teenage girl that fell into a coma after having bubble tea. I didn't know if it was called bubble tea or boba tea, but she would drink two bubble tea drinks a day. Apparently, she fell into a diabetic coma. She's 18 years old, and apparently these were super, super sweet. Now, it's interesting. Usually, America over-sweetens things more than other places. But these teas, I think they have sweet milk in them and sugar, and then they got those licorice balls at the bottom, and oh, my gosh, it's so good. Anyway, she was discovered unconscious, unfortunately, by family members who said she was experiencing symptoms with hyperglycemia. Her sugar got so high, she fell into a coma. She also, prior to that, was nauseous, frequent urination, dehydration. So if somebody is about to have diabetes or starting to have diabetes, they'll urinate a lot because they're trying to pee out the urine or pee out the sugar. And they'll be thirsty a lot because they're trying to neutralize the sugar. They'll also be tired. Many times they'll throw up because the body's trying to get rid of extra sugar. And a lot of times sugar levels make you feel sick. Fortunately, her blood sugar levels were roughly 25 times higher than normal. So if a normal blood sugar is 100, that means her blood sugar could have been 2,500. Whoa. So she was put on a ventilator. She even needed kidney dialysis. She woke up from a coma 5 days later. Sounds like she's doing good, but apparently bubble tea has 54 grams of sugar. Iced tea has 22 grams of sugar. I also think there has to be some genetic predisposition, too. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOC-DALLY.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.